Hello, everybody. Welcome to the panel discussion meeting. My name is Becky. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Becky.
What we're going to do is, I'm going to make some announcements, I guess. So the first thing I'd like to say is that we have created an Ask It box, and that is located on the back table. It's a granola bar box that is empty, okay? And there are strips of paper on top of it with pens that are weighing down the paper because the paper is going to fly everywhere. So but where Brandon is standing, if you all turn around, that's where you ask the questions that you want Gary and Bob to answer, okay? There you go. The second thing, for the people who have come here today or maybe missed yesterday's announcements, got here a little bit late, there are recycling cans in the back next to the trash cans. I don't think we have recycling cans up front, even though there's a trash can or so up here. The recycling, I believe, is for bottles and cans. And does anybody know if it's for another type of recyclable, like
cardboard?
Okay, so the jury is out on that, but we're going to find out from the weekend host.
They do recycle,
stack them up.
Yeah, just stack them up underneath the tables if you finish a box, and we'll periodically be pulling them out. So don't throw them in the trash can.
Any cardboard boxes and stuff that you fill up. Okay. Oh, there's also pens and highlighters in the back for those of you who want to highlight things or things in your book that Gary and Bob might touch on or read.
Touch on.
Okay, with that, before we start, I do want to find out how many of you, is this your first Fellowship of the Spirit retreat?
Nice.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Well, gosh, thank you for coming. That's a lot. Okay, and the second thing I'd like to know is about recovery. How many of you are within the first year of recovery? All right. Well, we're glad you're here. Okay, so what we're going to do is, this is a panel discussion. What we've discussed up here is that we would like to hear anything you've got that's been stirring up inside of you, perhaps, during the weekend, not related to the weekend. Maybe you were feeling discomfort before the weekend. Whatever it is, it's, you know, related to this disease that we've got. So if you would like to come up and grab one of the mics that's probably the best way to do it, and ask those questions, or share something, one of us will share our experience with that based on what's requested or whatever, and we'll do our best with that. So we're all family here, so I hope nobody feels too exposed, because we're all going to expose ourselves eventually, and that's it. So who would like to come up?
I thought we were going to have like a moment of silence first.
Oh, are we?
I think so.
Oh, so one of our panel members, Mary, suggested a moment of silence, so let's do a little bit of meditation.
Yeah.
Like think about stuff.
Like, when do y'all have a timer?
Sorry.
Timer? 3 minutes?
3 minutes.
3 minutes of meditation. Okay, everybody. Thanks. Thanks for meditating. If anyone would like to come up, come on.
Nice.
Hey, I'm Drew, and I'm an addict with an alcohol abuse problem.
Hi, Drew.
So, the Big Book saved my life. Working Steps saved my life. I work on them once a year, but I find myself sometimes making the step work God, and it blocks me from having experience with God. And I would like to know y'all's thoughts on that.
Interesting.
I do not have experience with that. I'm just going to say that right now.
I'm James, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, James.
Hey, James.
My only experience with that, that I'll share is, you know, I look at the steps as a conduit to connecting with my higher power. And I know it's at times we could... The line can kind of get crossed between, you know, the step work and the program being our higher power. And for some people, I know they do treat that as their higher power. But for me, the program is man-made. And so by definition, it had to be inspired and lead to something much greater than anything man can do. So... again, I just say that it's a conduit or a way to connect with the higher power, if that helps at all.
Okay, so I do have something. I was working with a sponsor before I came to the Fellowship of the Spirit retreat, or perhaps around that time when I was first coming here, and the sponsorship family that I was part of was very service-oriented, and I had been so service-oriented in the beginning of my recovery that and it worked. You know, it kept me sober and it kept me out of my head. That when I hit a place in around 4 years of sobriety, which was a lot of self-pity, a lot of anger about, you know, other people not doing what I thought they should do, I was right back where I was, except I wasn't drinking. And what I heard my sponsor say a lot was, work harder, work the steps harder, or, you know, sponsor other women, or go to more meetings. You know, I did, obviously, I tried those things. They did not work in the way that, you know, alcohol or drugs would work, but I did them, nothing changed. What I finally realized was that what I heard my sponsor saying was I had control over how I felt, and I do not believe that. And so it was around that time that I stopped working with her and started working with Mary, my sponsor, from this group. So in relation to this question, I would say that when I think about doing the steps more, or I think about perhaps that might be what you're talking about, the God thing, making the steps your God, making the work your God, working harder. When I see people doing that, I can only think of a couple, but when I see people doing that, I do not want to do that, mostly because it's just more me, you know, more me. And I don't want to constantly look at myself constantly. I've got to get more outside, you know. I've got to talk to other people and hear more stuff about that. Not to say that, you know, the steps or step work doesn't have its place, but I think that there is a great deal outside of step work that we can do with each other that's not constantly looking at where does that come from? Why do I feel like this? Da 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 da. You know, so that's what I think.
Thanks, Becky. So I guess kind of similarly to Becky, I work the steps on a regular basis, like Drew said. I love the steps. The sponsee comes to me, I tell her, this is what I have to offer you is the steps. That's what I did. That's what saved my life. But the steps don't fix everything. If I have a problem come up, I can't write enough inventory to get rid of it. I seek God, I pray, I meditate, but it's an evolutionary process, right? If I could work the steps hard enough or good enough, I could probably do it one time and just like float on clouds the rest of my life. But that's not my experience. Spiritual evolution is constant growth, you know, constant contact with my Creator. And I'm not going to be some super spiritual Buddha at all times. Like, I just can't bring that about through my own self-will. I can write inventory. I can go through the steps. I believe very strongly in the steps and working them on a regular basis, but not every fucking day, right? Like, there's a certain trusting in God that I have to trust God that this moment might feel really uncomfortable. This might be fucked up. My actions may look really fucking gnarly to some other people. Even to me, if I owe an amends, obviously I have to make it. But it's growth. It's evolution. I have to trust God that whatever's going on in this moment, whether I like it or not, whether I'm enjoying it or not, if I truly believe that God is everything, God is in this moment. God is in this discomfort. God is in this growth. God is in this evolution. I can't self-will myself into constant comfort, right? I can't work hard enough to make myself feel okay 24/7 the rest of my entire life. If I felt okay 24/7 and could will myself into perfection, what would I need God for at all, right? I'm not God. You know, I believe that I have to experience things, a lot of things that I might not like or might not be comfortable. And I think it's an amazing process to evolve into this ability, not always, but to be able to sit back and watch things unfold. Wow, this is what's happening right now. This is really interesting. I wonder where God's going to go with this. I wonder what's going to come about from this experience. And if I am touched or uncomfortable, you know, I can take that to God. God, please show me the truth. God, please show me what you would have me to be. You know, I have to seek God in all things. I can't self-will myself into constant comfort.
Yeah. I'm Brett. I'm a crackhead. I'm also an alcoholic. You know, I think I have some current experience with this topic. It was probably about 6-8 months ago, and I came to the decision that it was time for me to go back through the steps again, you know. And I think I was posed with a question when I brought that thought to a couple people that I talk to on a regular basis, and one of the questions that was posed to me is, what's the purpose of going back through the steps? Is it to, you know, and at that time, you know, I was experiencing a high level of internal pain and discomfort, and the question was posed, are you doing this to remove the pain, to avoid experiencing the pain, or are you doing it to deepen your relationship with your higher power? Because depending on what is driving you into that is going to alter the experience you have going through the steps. And I think I was being driven into this piece of work because I wanted the pain to go away, and there was really very little, if I'm being honest with myself, you know, wanting to deepen my relationship. I just wanted the pain to quit. I was uncomfortable as hell. I was miserable. I was constantly irritable and just found myself not really satisfied with really anything that was happening. And it's interesting because it was around the time my son was born. So, of course, I'm going to experience some uncomfortability and some discomfort. But you know, for me, it was, and what came out of that was a realization that I'm really still trying to run the show and control things in my life, and I'm trying to play God and doing that. You know, the steps are just a mechanism. You know, and I would love to sit up here and tell you that steps are the only way that's going to channel you to God. But it's really not the only. It's what is proven works for us as alcoholics and addicts, and has worked for me to get me in touch with the thing that's already was already keeping me sober. You know, if God wants my pain to be removed, it's going to be removed. And I went through the steps to a certain point, but the problem was that, you know, my son was born, you know, I was experiencing these, you know, a lot of things going on, and that pain started to go away, right? What happened? I stopped doing the step work. The willingness wasn't there, because I was being, to me, and this could be completely delusional, but I feel like the pain was what was driving my willingness. And when that pain went away, I was not, my mind, my thinking was not God-centered. You know, it was not to deepen my relationship with my higher power. It was for the pain to go away. And when the pain went away, I stopped doing the work. Well, what happens was that the pain came back, you know, and more so, and more abruptly and quickly. I found myself back doing the steps again, getting back into steps, but it's you know, like, I think what we're all trying to say is that, or at least what I'm trying to say, is it's just a mechanism to get us in touch with the thing that, and is even providing the willingness, in my opinion. You know, I think the willingness that we're given when we first come in here, it's all God given. And yeah.
Hi, I'm Adam. I'm an addict. This is coming to my mind when you are talking about working the steps, and I guess and it kind of leading you on a path towards God. what I'm experiencing and dealing with throughout the new year is trying to find a balance in recovery, you know, and staying active with meetings and like the network that, you know, of people that you know that you talk to on a regular basis, because my job keeps me so consumed and busy working 7 days a week, maybe 30 days straight, 12, 16-hour days. And I'm resting on the fact that, well, I've learned a lot through working the steps numerous times. You know, am I trying to justify me not going to meetings or calling people in a network because of work? Am I you know, it's I listened to the speakers talk this morning about are you afraid of being really what God wants you to be? And it makes me think, like, do I really want to be an electrician the rest of my life? You know, is this really what I want to do? Because I know how great things are in recovery and being and you know, being connected with a group of people, you know, and just finding that balance and work and bills. And I know I wouldn't have none of it if I wasn't sober and if it wasn't for AA and God, you know, and CA. But it's just tough for me right now, in a sense, because I'm sick and tired of not associating, not being involved, you know. That's all I got.
I'm James. I'm an alcoholic. I have to remember that God puts me in different situations and different places for a reason. And if I am starting my day in prayer and meditation, if I'm ending my day asking God for intuitive thought as to what I need to do the next day, then those answers come to me once I connect to that power. And when the answer is clear, if it is, I need to be at work, I need to be providing for family, or and I've checked that with other people in my network, making sure that it's not my will disguised as God's will, then I can feel safe in I'm right where I'm supposed to be. I too, you know, have to work long hours, but I can also carry the message at work. I don't have to wear my alcoholism on my sleeves, but I can practice the principles of this program. I have had the opportunity to open up with certain people and break my anonymity and share some experience, strength, and hope in the workplace. And I like to think that I've been able to help people that way. But if not, I can just, in every single interaction with everybody that I interact with, whether it's at work or just in the world in general, if I look at it as an opportunity to help that person, to make that interaction with me a pleasant interaction, and where they can draw some strength, or, you know, just a change in their perception, you know, helping somebody out at a grocery store, bringing in a cart or something like that, saying hi to a stranger, just little things that might make a big difference that to us, you know, doesn't take much effort. If I'm constantly thinking about other people and how I can help other people and practice these principles in all my affairs, then it doesn't matter whether or not I'm in meetings doing that or out in the world doing it. And that's just my experience.
I can use this. Oh, I like this one too. Okay. Thanks. Personal space. All right, so I don't go to a lot of meetings. I go to my home group on Monday nights, and I go to Spearheads on Thursdays sporadically. I spend more time sponsoring women than I do going to meetings. And not to say I'm sponsoring women every single day. I mean, I do talk to women on the phone, obviously, a lot. But when you were talking, something, this thought came to me. On page 45, it says, "Lack of power was our dilemma. We had to find a power by which we could live, and it had to be a power greater than ourselves, obviously. But where are we to find, where and how are we to find this power? Well, that's exactly what this book is about. Its main object is to enable you to find a power greater than yourself, which will solve your problem. The steps are laid out in the book, The Spiritual Program of Action. My problem is lack of power, right? I need access to power. I get that power through prayer, meditation, working steps, talking with other people in the program. These things, lack of meetings is not my problem. Lack of fellowship is not my problem. My problem is I need access to power. So I don't think that you, I mean, sort of also, like James said, and like I was saying before, like, this is where I am right now. This is what's going on. I do find it important to reach out to other people. I go through periods where I don't, and I don't think that's not my ideal. I would like to reach out to other people, be more authentic, transparent, with other people, because if I don't, I'll start believing all the crazy shit in my head, right? So I do think it's important. Prayer, meditation, no doubt. Reaching out to other people in the fellowship, definitely important. But if I don't go to, you know, a meeting or two every week, or three meetings a week, or however many meetings people think you should go to be a good member of Alcoholics Anonymous or Cocaine Anonymous, I'm cool with that. You know, I don't feel bad or feel guilty. Like, I practice the principles in all of my affairs as much as I'm awake to that. And I do this deal through living my everyday life. It sounds like you have a very busy schedule. That sounds exhausting. But that's where you are right now. Like, that's where God has placed you. That's your situation. So live this deal, right? Live it at work. Live it at home. Live it in whatever spare time that you have. I wouldn't feel too bad. If you feel cut off or separated, reach out on your lunch break, in the evenings. Shoot a quick text. Hey, can we talk at this time? Are you available? Whenever. And, you know, a little conversation here and there just to stay plugged in to your fellows, but definitely prayer, meditation every day to stay plugged into the power, because that's our problem, lack of power.
She's so smart. I'm Becky. I'm still an alcoholic. I think about this a lot, especially lately, because I've been in a relationship with a non-addict alcoholic for a year and something, and it's easy to fantasize about a life that does not include this stuff. It's dangerous for me. I don't have, okay, I'm going to make a stupid Captain Obvious type remark. I mean, you know, I don't have the kind of time that Bob and Gary have, but here's what I observe about people like Bob and Gary. And honestly, that's what I'm trying to get to, is the Bob and Gary place. What I hear is, Here is what I think God has me be. And if you agree, great. If you don't agree, that's fine too. This is who I think God wants me to be. I think that sometimes I think this is what God wants, and I don't know. But I'll learn later. You know, I'll find out eventually. In my experience this far is lots of valleys and peaks, and there are times when I'm in a great deal of pain that drives me closer to God, and there are times when I don't feel close to God. I got it, you know. I'm kind of like, this is cool, you know. I'm, you know, and I have to be careful, because sometimes I think about, what is it supposed to look like? You know, I think if I, like I think about guys like Tarek, and I'm like, okay, Tarek is what it's supposed to look like. And Tarek has a recovery center. Tarek works with men, lots of men. You know, Tarek is always in service. And I think that's what it's supposed to look like. But I do not want to do that, you know? Like, that's just how it is. Well, in the beginning of recovery, I thought, that's not right. There's something wrong with me. It's my ego that says, I don't want to do that. So you need to get off your ass and do that shit. But today, what I think is, we're all different, and we all are on our own journey. Sometimes it takes people 20 years to get to the place where it takes some people 4 years to get to. You know, my sponsor has less time than I do. Yeah, I know. Okay. And that sometimes blows my mind because it's not about time, you know. That being said, the longer I do this, the more I realize that it's, like, I love what you read because it's about, it's not, it's the power by which I could live. What is living? Is it the power by which I could sponsor men or sponsor women? Is it the power by which I could go to meetings? The power by which I could be part of committees and conferences that talks about recovery, you know? Or is it living? What does living look like? And what does living on a spiritual basis look like? I have to do that to stay sober, and I want to do that. So I do what I hope I need to do. Coming here is one of the things that I have done this weekend to try and get something and to try and give something. And I try not to think about it too much. That, you know, I asked Gary on the way up here, do you get the jitters? And he said no. And I said, I don't know if I said anything. I guess I was silent. And he goes, if you get the jitters, then that's you. And I'm really afraid to say what I want to say because I'm afraid people are going to be like, oh, she's fucked up, you know. But if I want to be real, you know, what's wrong with being real? You know, I mean, that's how I learn. So I've had the most amazing experiences being completely vulnerable and being so afraid of what you're going to think. When I say that shit that I say, I'm like, oh, God, please, please still love me, you know, and y'all do. So thanks.
I'm Sam. I'm a heroin addict. I guess I have a question. No, I'm just joking. So I guess my question would be about y'all's daily routines. Because just recently I became like, I wasn't even awake to this, right? I realized this through a conversation with someone else that, can y'all hear me? Okay. That rarely do I ever pray. We were talking about prayer and meditation on a daily basis, and I realized that I only meditate. Like, I rarely ever pray. And I don't know. I just guess I'd like to know what y'all do on a daily routine. Like, what do you engage in?
Thanks, Sam. It's interesting that you only meditate, because when I came in, I only prayed. And I had no conception of meditation or what that looked like. And really kind of ignored it. I was raised with some belief systems that was just kind of some, you know, Eastern, you know, juju stuff that we just don't talk about down here in the Bible Belt, you know. But it's just a word, right? There's a lot of different ways to approach prayer and meditation. And I think that's a beautiful thing that, you know, the book does, is it kind of points a finger out and says, go find it, you know. You know, start out with your own conception of God, and all you need is that little mustard seed of willingness to believe in that higher power. And we all end up, you know, the donkey. I love that one too, Brandon. You know, where we we all go on our different paths and in our different ways, and you know, kind of I ebb and flow out of, in and out of prayer and meditation and different things. You know, sometimes there's been periods where, you know, in early recovery where I just prayed and that's all I knew how to do. And that's what I did. That's the people that were around me at the time, that's all they knew how to do. And then I got brought into a different fellowship and got introduced into some different practices. When I found myself at a place where something wasn't working and I moved into more meditation, and that I actually set prayer aside and really just meditated for like 2 years, and became very regimented and, you know, was meditating for, you know, 30, 45 minutes every morning, and I'd get home and I'd pray for 20 minutes before I went to bed. As of right now, I think the beautiful thing about prayer for me right now is that it gives me an opportunity to show gratitude and be thankful. I should actually say that the gratitude is I think a result of that prayer and the disciplines of actually going through some set prayers that I have. Because as I repeat those prayers over and over again, they kind of become a fabric of how I go out in my day. Two questions that I ask myself in the morning is, how do I want to be today? How do I want to be when I'm interacting with people? And, you know, obviously, what do I want to do? What do I want to accomplish today? Am I going to go out and do I have any amends to make? I use my evening review as part of my morning routine. And you know, how do I want to function in that day? And I really use the prayer to be thankful and to, you know, ask God to show me to be loving and tolerant, which I struggle with on the regular. You know, to find a purpose in that day, you know, and really when my mind is kind of living out that prayer, man, I'm so free. Internally, I'm in the same industry that you're in, and bro, I know it can get intense, you know, and we get asked a lot to do physically, throughout a day, you know, and it can be very stressful. But I can also function in that world and still be free. Some days I'm completely driven. I mean, I'm just swallowed up. And those are usually the days where I've maybe held off on some prayer and meditation. But some days it's when I do pray and meditate, and I just, like, I close my book and shut the door, and it's like I'm just asleep. But, yeah.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. So, I pray and I meditate, right, on a daily basis. I wish I could say that I meditated for like an hour every morning. I heard a guy say one time that he meditated for like an hour and a half. It might have been 2.5 hours. I don't know. Every morning, I'm like, wow. You know what I mean? Like, I like to sleep. I have to go to work. I do, you know, I live life. And I don't know. Maybe he did too and he didn't need as much sleep. But so anyway, what this makes me think about is 86 and 88, right? I ask God to direct my thinking. Under these conditions, I can employ my mental faculties with assurance. God gave me brains to use. My thought life is placed on a much higher plane when my thinking is cleared of wrong motives. That comes about through constant contact with God, constantly seeking God. It says, in thinking about my day, I may face indecision. I am often not able to determine which course to take. I ask God for inspiration, divine influence, an intuitive thought or decision, and I relax and take it easy. Like, I am a super fucking chill person, and I thank God for that, right? Like, yeah. You know, I seek God, and this is a gift. I don't think I've done anything to bring this about, but through this program and through prayer and meditation, I pause a lot. It says as we go through the day, we pause when agitated or doubtful and ask for the right thought or action. I pause all the time, right? I pause. I notice that I pause before I speak a lot. And I trust God. I believe what this book says. And I believe that I have a constant relationship with my Creator, even when it doesn't look like it, even when some people may disagree with me. I believe that I'm led by the Spirit of the universe, and I trust that. And it's not because, it's not I do whatever I want all the time and fuck the consequences. I really do think about God and everything that I do. And like I said, it's not like I'm so awesome, I think about God and everything I do. I don't know how that became. I don't know how that came about in me, but I'm so grateful for it. And when I fall asleep to what God would have me be, that's okay too, because that's going to happen. And again, if there's an amends to make, I make it. But I trust God. I trust God in everything that happens. And am I even answering your question? I don't know. You know, I pray throughout the day. I meditate every morning. Obviously, some days I don't, but most mornings. And I seek God throughout the day. And I don't know if it's prayer. I don't know if it's meditation. It can look like a thousand different things. But I believe that I consider what God would have me be, do, and say often. And to me, that's prayer, meditation, 24/7. It's not always going to look the same for all of us, and that's okay.
Thanks, Mary. I'm James. I'm an alcoholic. For me, the fact that you are already meditating, for me, that's getting over a big part of the hump, because my experience is I can't really pray unless I'm meditating and getting into that mental state of mind through meditation in order to get to prayer. And so the way I start my day is I take my dog for a walk, and I just try to clear my head, and then I come home and just do, you know, a real quick, simple, you know, 4 to 5 minute meditation, and just focus on my breathing, being still and everything. And then I, you know, will go into prayer. What was so fascinating for me was looking at what Bill Wilson and the founders of the First 100 thought of prayer, because the third step through the seventh step is really one big, long prayer. It starts with the third step prayer, and then it goes through to the seven-step prayer, and it ends with an amen. And in between that, you have an inventory and a confession. And if you look at the 11th step, it's very similar. You're doing a nightly review, so you're doing inventory again. So you know what you're praying for. You know what defects you're asking God to remove. You know what actions you need to do to make things right. And for me, that's where the light bulb went off. How do I need to pray? The book laid it out for me. Before, I was always just praying for myself and God give me that and God take this away and that away. But it was all for selfish motives. And now I see, you know, take away my difficulties that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help. You know, so take away these defects so I can be more helpful to your children, God, to those that I interact with day in and day out. And when I started looking at prayer that way, it took a whole new meaning for me. But in order to get to that mindset, I had to meditate first, if that makes any sense, to get peaceful and calm and connected, and then I could go into the prayer. So if you're already meditating, seems like you're over the most difficult part.
Yay, I get to talk again. I know, that's really what it's like up here. I mean, for me. So, so ridiculous. Thank God. Okay, I know, so fucked up. All right. Okay, so when I first got sober, my sponsor said, in the morning, get on your knees and ask God to keep you sober for that day. At night, get on your knees and thank God for keeping you sober that day. And I did that for years. I don't do that anymore. My feet hit the floor instead of my knees in the morning. How do I feel about that? It scares me sometimes when I think about it too much. I think, you know, in the front of my book that I brought here, it says, "Don't think." Somebody said to write that in the book. They said that the think slogan in AA does not apply to you. The thinking is the problem. So again, you know, what I hear you asking, and I don't know if this is right or not afterwards, I suppose you could come up and tell me, but what I hear you asking through my stuff is, what am I supposed to do, you know, to mean it's right? That's my story. A lot of my stuff is, I just want it to be the right thing. Tell me what to do. I'll do it. If 1 + 1 = 2, do. Here's the formula. That's how my life was before AA. It was, when I say this, your reaction is that. So I will say that again to make you do that. You know, that's that manipulation of people is, you know, something that I tried to make happen. You know, when I say that, you get upset. I noted. You know, with recovery, I'm often I still have that place that I come from, which is you know. Is it okay? Is it okay if I just meditate? You know, I mean, that's what I hear, you know. And I guess, you know, I want so desperately somebody to say, do it like that, you know. And that's, you know, and I did. When I sponsored my first lady, I sponsored like my sponsor sponsored me. And it was so not me. You know, it was not me at all. But I had to go through that experience to learn how I'm a sponsor, you know. This is all a journey, you know. And so my life today, you know, when I was single and living alone, I prayed and meditated every morning. I had my routine. I did my writing, not every day, but I would often write prayers. But now I don't do that, and I get scared, and I think, is that okay? But what I do find is that I observe myself throughout the day, and when I feel something weird, I often discuss it with my sponsor at that moment or at another time after I've had some time to think about it or do prayer about it. I do pray throughout the day, especially in times of fear. I pray for God to direct my thinking and remove my fear and direct my attention to what you would have me be. And I just try to, I don't know. It almost sounds like, I feel like somebody in my head is saying, that's bullshit, you know, like somebody, oh yeah, you think you're praying? You're not really praying. You're not doing shit, you know. But I don't know. I'd like to think that it's a living thing. I think it's okay. I think it's okay no matter, well, I don't know if that's bad or whatever. Okay, bye.
I think we're done here. Thank you, guys.